We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Owning a small business can be overwhelming. How can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. There's so many places to reach customers. Email, text messages, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, live events, the list goes on. How are you, as the business owner, expected to own all of those channels? That's where Constant Contact comes in to help. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. I use this to grow my email list, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Welcome to Talking Halos, Derek Ciapolla with my co-hosts Jared Timms and Nate Green, and spring training is underway. There are three games under the Angels' belt as we speak right now, including a split series today. Guys, start with Nate today. How's it going?
It's going good. Good to see some baseball back. How are you?
Doing just fine. Haven't seen any of it actually yet. Us East Coast guys have to catch up on later. Jared?
I don't watch spring training games, and I really don't care about them. But it's good to have baseball back, I'll tell you that. And I do take that back, actually. I enjoy seeing pitchers and seeing what they bring to the table. I love seeing who's in the best shape of their life. Miguel Sano, actually, that's kind of cool. But other than that, not a lot to take away from spring training. We'll see.
It is funny to me that you claim to be your favorite part about the Angels org is the minor leagues, and you couldn't care less about spring training. And that's when we actually get to see minor leaguers play against some big leaguers, like Nelson Rada getting the two ABs today, the two stolen bases and the walk. Like, so kind of funny to me.
I mean, a little concerning. Like, you're our minor league guru, and you're like, F them. You know, the Rams, like, F them picks, and you're like, F them spring training games. Like, seriously? Come on, man.
Good to see Aaron Vera out there. I'm a big Aaron Vera fan.
He's late as he can be on a fastball. That's good to see.
This is why I don't care about spring training.
All right. Because it doesn't carry over to the regular he's always late on fastballs. Never mind. Wrong guy.
Wow. Shade thrown. Okay. So here we are. Some news broke early this morning. Cody Bellinger re-signs with the Cubs. Is that the floodgate that opens the rest of these signings up? Jordan Montgomery's still out there. Blake Snell's still out there. Is this it, Jared? Is this it?
I mean, if we wait any longer, we're at opening day, right? So, I mean, yeah, you'd have to assume that that some of these guys start signing. I mean, you got three big names still out there: Matt Chapman, Blake Snell, Jordan Montgomery, amongst others, obviously. But yes, like you would assume that Bellinger signing this deal does open up the doors, and it kind of probably shows that teams aren't willing to spend that, not willing to spend big bucks, but willing to give big years. Because I know there's a lot of thought that Bellinger was going to get, you know, 10 years, and he settles for 3 years, almost in a sense a bridging contract, you know, like, mm-hmm. You know, he gets to age 31, you get to see him as a free agent again. You never know what he's going to do over these next 3 years.
He's going to opt out next year.
Yeah, he's got two opt outs in there.
He's got two opt. I didn't see the terms.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Oh, they're really player friendly.
It has been honestly one of the most impressive jobs I've ever seen out of Scott Boras. The fact that he has no suitors, like literally no suitors. Toronto's out, New York's out, the Angels are fake potential people, and somehow he gets Chicago to give him two opt outs in a 3 year contract, front load the deal, and he still gets to become a free agent at age 29 after hopefully having another really good year. And proving to everyone that it was just, you know, an injury plague. That's why he didn't play too well with the Dodgers in his last 2 years. But, like, unbelievable that he gets two opt-outs. Plus, they front-load the contract. Typically, if you're going to have opt-outs, you backload it. So that way they are more likely to stay. But they front-loaded it, which is crazy.
I mean, I thought it was interesting to see how many people thought the opposite. I thought that Boras got played and that Boras, you know, a Boras guy who thought he's gonna get 10 years, 250, 275, gets 3 years and 80, but those two option years make a big difference.
And it's probably still more money than people thought. I think people were realistically, people were saying 10 for 250. Like that was the realistic number. And he got more than two, like 25 a year. He's getting 26 a year, 26.67, whatever it is. And he's also taking home 30 in the first year. And then it becomes 20 in the next 2 years. So if he even has a decent year, he's opting out and he's going to have to go through this all over again.
It's 30, 30, 20.
You doing my math over there?
That's 30. It's 30, 30, 20.
Yeah. That's why I said 30.
No, you actually said 30, 20.
Oh, I said 30, 20, 20.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's all good.
Is it 30, 30? Okay. I thought it was 30, 25. Maybe it's 30, 25. I don't know.
No, I'm 30, just saying when you spoke, you said 30, 20, 20, but you clearly misspoke because there's this lady. So
30-30.
But what is it?
30-30-20. Now on to these pitchers. It'll be very interesting to see what they get. And Chapman too. Being a little bit older, all of them. They can't I would assume they don't take this type of deal, a 3 year deal. However, I mean Jordan Montgomery on this deal, this type of deal, let's say. Not this exact deal, but this type of deal where you get them 3 years. I mean, 3 for 23 a year. I mean, I don't know. Like Montgomery at that, you're not investing in him long term. He's been a 10-win pitcher almost over the past. No, he's been over a 10-win pitcher over the last 3 years. If I'm not mistaken, he hasn't been a horrible pitcher. I mean, I don't trust it, but you know, and on a short term deal, Montgomery's not horrible. Plus, I mean, the Angels' rotation next year. With one of these two pitchers, I mean, think about it, Snell or Montgomery. Let's see, who else do you got in there? Patrick Sandoval, unless you plan on trading him. Chase Silseth, up and coming there. Reed Detmers. I think you probably have Tyler Anderson for another year. You might have a Griffin Canning sitting around there for another year, depending on how those two guys pitch. Plus, you have an interesting prospect named Caden Dana, who's looking like, I mean, in all honesty, like, prospect guy here. I think he could be a solid number three starter. He looks very, very good down the minor league. So do I like either one of these guys? That's another question. Does it help the Angels long term, like getting Blake Snell? Absolutely. So yeah, I mean it'd be a lot of fun to see them get either one of these guys as long as the money's right. And that's been my biggest issue here forever in the Perry era is what they've given players, whether it's in free agency or whether it's the draft, you know. So it'll be interesting to see what these guys get and if one of them does go to the Angels or if Scott Boras is doing Scott Boras things and leading teams on to think that there are more teams interested.
I tend to look at, I'm not worried about the money as much as the years. It's always the years that burn the Angels. So if they can somehow, some way get a 3 year deal or something like that, even if it's player friendly for Blake Snell, at the very least, he's a talented stopgap. You know, I mean, just this whole idea of committing 7-8 years to him when all the underlying numbers say to me there's question marks. That's where I'm concerned. This is where my presupposition to a Blake Snell comes into play. If the trend is now we're getting short-term deals. I'm fine blowing that money. What's it going to hurt? You're not going to be there very long. So that's a differing point of view for me is if it's short-term, pay them. If it's long-term, don't. I don't want the long-term deals.
Are you giving
Not for those
Snell?
guys.
Are you giving Snell 1 for 35 this year?
I would. It's 1 year.
Do you lose a draft pick with Snell?
You do.
You lose a
Oh,
draft
well,
pick.
that does change things a little bit, yeah.
You probably trade him, though. You probably trade him at the deadline. I mean, it losing that draft pick and that money, you probably get more back for Snell than that
Question.
draft pick.
Question, guys. Fill me in. I'm a little behind the time. Does for Montgomery, is that a draft pick loss?
No,
I don't think
because he was
so.
a mid-season trade. He can't have one because of his mid-season trade.
And
I mean,
that's
for me, if Blake Snell's like a 3 year deal with an option for 2nd year, maybe I'm cool with it. But 1 year, no. I pay the money on a short term, not 1 year deal.
don't know.
I think he's at a weird age too for him to be able to take a short term deal. I think that's why he's been so adamant about, hey, give me my 5, 6, 7 year deal, because if you give him a 3 year deal, I think he's about 34. And it's really, really hard for him to get another like bigger contract at 34 unless he's just absolutely lights out for the next 3 years. I think Montgomery is kind of in a similar situation. He'll be 32. His contract can't be as long because he is a little bit older than Snell by a year. But I think both those guys are trying to make sure that they get paid because they know that no matter how good they do over these next 3 years, like look at what Marcus Stroman got. Marcus Stroman got 20-ish. What is it? 16, 17? Yeah, something like that. Like that's a big discount from what these guys would be saying, like, hey, I'd rather take 6, 7 years at 24, 23, and just know that I'm locked in at 23, or give me the 6, 7 year deal and let me opt out after a couple of years. And if I'm like, pitching out of my mind, then I'll opt out at after 3 years. But I think these guys are really locked in and on the years. And if you're gonna go super long in the years, I think you gotta get a discount with the money. I think it's one or the other. You can't give them long term and 25 plus million, either of them. You can't give them. I'm either giving them a short term deal at upper 20s, low 30s, or a long term deal at low 20s, because these guys aren't that good. That yes, Blake Snell has won 2 Cy Young awards. I'm not a big Blake Snell guy. I mean, he's pitched 2 times over 180 innings. He has two Cy Youngs in those years. The rest of his years, he's never thrown 180 innings. He's been hurt a lot. And he's got a lot of walks. There's just a lot of concern for me with Blake Snell. Jordan Montgomery's been a good pitcher. He's not an ace, and he wants ace type money, and he's just not that guy. So this is a miserable spot that the Angels are in. Didn't go get the bat that they needed. They still need a bat, but doesn't look like that's going to happen. And you're putting yourself in a position where it's like everyone's going to tell you need more starting pitching, which is true. They do need more starting pitching, but what you're going to give Snell and Montgomery is not good for the Angels long term.
I just want to clarify when I'm talking about like for Snell and or Montgomery.
Yes.
That's the real problem. I'm talking about I want these guys on something that's basically team advantageous. And that's not gonna happen. Like you said, give or take. I agree there. It's gonna be there has to be some kind of like if you're gonna give money that then short term is fine. If you're gonna give them years, then they need to discount the money. But what I'm looking for this isn't going to happen. It's not economically feasible right now. So I'm not going to be happy either way, probably. I'm not going to be. So what should the Angels do? I mean, should they let these guys go? And by the way, for Blake Snell, it's not just all the things you mentioned, which are 100% correct. He is a notorious slow starter. He's awful the first 2, 2.5 months of the season every freaking year. And by then, in this division, you can be out of the race. So that's a turnoff for me. All right, guys, what do you say? I mean, Jared, what do you say? What should the Angels do at this point? Do they just stand pat? Do they look for a midseason trade? If you're the front office right now, what are you doing?
Whatever Artie Moreno wants to do. That's not a very good answer,
It's a
but
horrible answer.
yeah, no, I know that you, depends on how much you're looking to spend. I was looking up a plethora of things there, but I mean, it looks like the Angels are pretty close to, let's say, $175 million dollars in payroll this season. So, I mean, 20 plus million dollars a year keeps them under 200, which what is the cap at? Not that it's a cap, but
It's like 209, 210, something like
no,
that.
it's
Whoa, it's
in the
like
230s,
230, right?
two
Always down.
thirty-five.
So
it depends
Wait a
on
minute.
it depends on what Artie wants to do. You don't have anything coming off. You don't really have much coming off the books. I guess you do have. You have a good plethora of guys coming off the books next year. A good amount of relievers. You have Brandon Drury coming off the books, which isn't a lot of money, but you do have a good chunk of guys to build around. And getting, I mean, if I had to pick between the two of
Oh,
them,
yeah, you're right. Sorry,
yeah,
two
it's
thirty seven.
237.
Two
237.
thirty-seven.
If I had to pick between the two of them, I mean, the upside's there with Blake Snell. I mentioned he's, I mean, you mentioned the we mentioned the rotation that could be next year. That's a young rotation that could use a veteran leader, that's been there and done it before. Not that Jordan Montgomery hasn't been there and done it before, but, I mean, Blake Snell has been a Cy Young Award winner. What can you learn from a Cy Young Award winner? Besides, you know, a lot. So I don't know. I'd love to see them get one of these guys. I'm not necessarily in a tank, but I am in the mindset of, well, you know, this team's probably not competing this year. How do you compete in 2025? And which one of these guys helps the Angels compete more in 2025? And right now, it's probably Blake Snell. He's been a better pitcher. He has higher upside. Where the Angels have a bunch of number four starters, and Jordan Montgomery could slide right into that number four starter category there. So, Nate, tell your dad I said hi there, big dog. So, no, I don't. It comes down to Artie Moreno if he wants to spend money on pitching. I mean, history repeats itself. He's not going to do it. He hasn't done it yet, right? The Angels have not spent money on pitching. They really never have. Not saying they haven't spent money because they've gone and spent money, but they just haven't done it on pitching because pitching doesn't bring back a lot of money for Artie, right? But maybe a guy like Blake Snell might. So we'll just see. But I mean, I'm on the Blake Snell train at this point if I had to pick between the two of them.
I don't like the pick, if I'm honest. That's just unfortunately how I feel about it. I don't like the pick. Nate.
If it's between the two, I'm going Monty just because I'm not giving up a draft pick for what might be. You really have no idea what you're getting out of Blake Snell. I feel like Montgomery's the safe answer. He kind of has put up that 3.334 ERA for the most part in his career. Pitched really good in the postseason last year, which could be a little bit harder. And you're going to bring up the 2 years of 5 ERA. That's fine. And I
No,
could do the same thing with Blake Snell.
what did they get? What did they give up? Is it the comp or is it the second rounder?
It's the second rounder.
So you're giving up like $750,000 instead of $1.5 million on that comp pick, maybe $2 million. So,
The comp pick is later than the second.
oh, it's a second comp, huh? It's not a first comp. So second comp ends up
Yeah.
being around that million. Second round ends up being around that
The
million
second
dollar
round
range.
is before the comp
Yep.
pick.
Yep. 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 Yeah.
So it actually is more money that you're giving up for Blake Snell. My biggest thing, and this is the question that I don't know if the Angels could find out and get answered, but honestly, I want to know what kind of teammate is Blake Snell when he's not pitching. What was he like in Tampa Bay when he got hurt for those couple of years and he was out for 2 months, 3 months, when he missed most of the year? Was he a guy who still wanted to show up to work and grind and help guys get better? Or was he a guy who was just going to mope and pout and sit in the corner and kind of play his video games? I don't know. I can't answer that, but I think that's the most important question to be answered here. Because what we've seen out of Monty hasn't really missed starts. He's been sent up and down from time to time with the Yankees. He got traded, things like that, but he doesn't really miss starts. So that is one good thing about Monty is you kind of could almost pencil him in for, hey, he's going to be somewhere around that 11-8 record, which I know nobody really cares about the win-loss record, but he's going to be somewhere around that 11-8, 9-10 record, somewhere in there. He's going to have like that 3.4, 3.5 ERA, and he's going to compete, and he's going to throw about 170, 180 innings. Like, that's kind of who he has been. Like,
you want to know who he reminds me of? It reminds me of Jose Quintana with the White Sox. Like a guy that's never been great, but has been on, and I know he was on the Rangers last year and won a World Series, but has never
the Yankees
been on
weren't good
teams. Yeah, never been on good teams. So that's who he reminds me of.
The Yankees never made the playoffs when he was on that team.
Did they
win the Cardinals? Yeah.
Did they? I'm just saying. Oh, that's
the Cardinals didn't make the playoffs when they're
carried
for the
stats,
first time.
That's
like,
what the stats remind me of. I mean, it's a 500 pitcher, good ERA, somebody who that if you put him on good teams for full years, it's probably a competing for a Cy Young award and more accolades. So that's what it reminds me of.
He's been on good teams the whole time. I think the biggest thing for him is he's got like his numbers got better when he pitched in pitcher parks. When he's pitching Yankee Stadium, he had some trouble. I don't know. My biggest thing is Blake Snell. What kind of teammate are you when you aren't pitching? Because there is a chance that that's going to happen, right? And we have data to figure that out. Obviously, we don't, but like the Angels would have access to that where they could call, you know, some friends in Tampa Bay, some friends around the league and be like, hey, what was Blake Snell like when he wasn't pitching? And find that out because we can't have another guy that's going to come into the locker room and just, you know, hey, I'm hurt and I don't care. For me personally, I wouldn't go after either of these guys. I think with where the Angels are at this year, with what they did in the offseason, they really, really got a lot in the bullpen and didn't really add to the offense. The offense needs a lot of help still. The starting pitching still needs some help. I think you're better off just saying, hey, go get two or three minor league deal with pitchers. And I know people are going to say, well, there aren't that many left. Well, you can still go get them because there are still people out there. Go get a minor league deal or two and hope that you can stay healthy because I think that's the biggest thing right now is if Griffin Canning or Tyler Anderson or somebody in that rotation gets hurt, you're looking at picking between Jose Suarez, who is my favorite pitcher of all time, and Zach Plesac. And it's like, not really thrilled with those two guys. Maybe there's a third guy that, you know, like there's just not a lot of depth options that make sense. And people are going to say, what about Mason Erla? Well, Mason Erla hasn't pitched that good in AAA. What about Sam Bachman? Sam Bachman's hurt. We don't know when he's going to be healthy and ready. And we don't even know if he's a starting pitcher. There's just so many question marks with the depth starting pitching with this team. And you're not looking at winning a division this year with the roster that Perry's constructed. It's just not good enough. It's not talented enough. And it's not deep enough, honestly. And I know everyone's going to be like, oh, they got deeper. Look at all the minor league contracts they gave to hitters. But like, the pitching needs to get deeper. All of it.
And on top of that, are you okay with four left-handed starting pitchers in the rotation?
Wouldn't be the first time, won't be the last, probably.
Yeah.
I mean, the last 5-6 years, that's kind of what they've rolled out there. So,
how's that worked out for them, though?
Not as well. Well, actually, a couple of years ago, we did pitch it pretty well. Like, that wasn't the problem. The starting pitching did do
I'm
pretty
talking
well.
Overall.
I'm just saying the starting pitching hasn't been the problem the entire time.
No, I can think of one problem, but he's not going away. So. All right, guys. Anything else we want to cover today? No? Well, that's a short
shot
for
Francisco.
Folks. What?
I was going to say shocked on the Francisco Mejia. Watched him play yesterday. It was very bad. Did not look good. I think it's a load of crap that the Angels are saying, oh, we want to give him more opportunities because he wasn't going to make the team anyway. It's like, if you felt that way beforehand, why did you offer him the minor league deal? Because you gave him one day, right? Like, if you knew he wasn't going to make the team, you probably already communicated that to him and his agent. Him and his agent were probably like, well, let's look at this roster. It sucks. There's probably someone who's going to get hurt, and I'm probably the first guy to get called up. So, I didn't love the answer. I think honestly, the answer would have been better for me if Wash would have just been like, honestly, we have a standard here, and he didn't meet it. We told him like to be ready to go right away, and he did not look ready to go. And this team, we are going to set the standard early. Like in order to be on this major league roster and to compete, you've got to be ready to go right away. We're not gonna sit here and hope that you're ready eventually, huh?
Didn't he say that?
He said that a couple months ago, but it would have been great for him to like use Mejia as a like point to like, hey, I don't mess around. he might have used it in the clubhouse this morning, but it would have been nice to see that.
Sharon, closing thoughts.
I got nothing on my head. I mean, I didn't watch it. He apparently looked back pretty bad. It's
three wild pitches and one pass ball.
Not common to see something like this. So there could have been something that happened behind closed doors. We don't know. We probably will never know, I would assume. But you know, we'll have to wait and see there. It's baseball season. A lot of good free agents still left out there. So we'll see what happens. You know, we'll see what happens.
All right, folks, there you got it. That's our show. Mile long one today, short and to the point. Follow us on Twitter at Talking Halos. Follow me at DC Paul. Follow Jared at Jared_Timms and Nate at NateGreen34. Be with you midweek. Have a great one. We're out of here.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.